Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awaken Radio. I am your host, Connie Chapman, and each week I bring you inspiring interviews and heart-opening conversations with experts and thought leaders from all over the world. Awaken Radio is your online destination for wisdom and inspiration that will support you to live a life beyond your wildest dreams. Hello everyone, this is Connie and welcome back to another episode of Awaken Radio. It's so beautiful to be here with you. Today's conversation is going to be really cool. We're going to be talking about energy, specifically about creative energy, but I'm excited because this is a conversation about energy, alignment, energy blocks, and really clearing out our energy. And I'm just so thrilled we're taking this perspective in this conversation today, because it can be very easy to always be looking to external things and shapes and forms and taking action. But anytime I can have a conversation with someone or focus my work on energy, I know that it's going to be really, really special. So I'm going to be talking to Mel Horn, who you can find out more about at melissahorn.com. And she works with people who are ready to bring about dynamic change, shifting from feeling mentally, emotionally, and creatively drained to feeling deeply connected, inspired, and alive in the life they're living. As a holistic kinesiologist and mentor, she helps people become embodied, soul-centered change makers so they can live life in the flow and on their own terms. So I was sharing, we actually had this episode just before and we had some technical difficulties. So I'm back on the air again with Mel, but I was sharing before my experiences of kinesiology, which I'm not going to dive into now because I can just see that Mel joined me on the line, but perhaps that might be something we bring up in this conversation today, because I know that since I've really honed in on doing energy work, so much has shifted in my life. So I'm really excited we're going to get to open up this conversation today. And I'm going to bring Mel on the line because I can see that she's here, which is awesome. Hello, Mel. Can you hear me?
Hello, I can. Hi, Connie.
How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very happy to be here. So thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. I'm so thrilled to have you here as well. So I was saying at the start, before you came on the line, that we're going to be talking about energy. This is going to be a conversation quite focused around energy. And specifically, you know, we've labeled this unleashing creative energy, which is one aspect of it. And I just wanted to open up as a starting point what your perspective is on creative energy, how you kind of define that, because people might see that as being specifically related to being artistic or having a creative talent, but how do you kind of describe creative energy and what it is?
Yeah, sure. And actually, that's a really great point, because I think everyone needs to create their own relationship to, for instance, creative energy or any concepts that are out there. So for me, I think it's definitely a melding of intellect and intuition. It can definitely come from a mind space when felt from the heart. And I think that creates purpose around the creative energy as well, and sort of a wholeness around it.
So you said a blend of intuition and intellect. Can you expand on that? I've never heard it phrased like that before.
Absolutely. I think so the intuition can definitely come up with insights and, you know, ideas and, you know, flowing out on the page. It's almost that divine channeling, for lack of a better description, that thing within you that just lights up and just makes you feel really good. What I find with creative energy, when it's stirred up that way, it needs an outlet, or it needs some sort of a funnel to be directed towards. And so I think that's where the intellect can come in as well, to give it a purpose and a place to reside and a place to live out into the world.
Right, I totally get it. And, you know, the way I kind of interpret that is I often say to people to make the mind the servant of the heart. So it's kind of like saying, so here's this, you know, and we can use different labels. You're kind of saying intuition or that divine creative energy that flows through you, but to then have our mind be the tool that we use to express that, that's kind of what you're saying, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think when we bring in aspects of curiosity and wonder, that can definitely be coming from a place of the intellect and engaging with the heart as well. So I think when you come from the perspective where it is intellect and intuition, and obviously they're my labels and that's the way that I connect in with it and explain it, I think that there's just such a well-rounded purpose for this creativity, because I think definitely in my personal experience and also the people that I come into contact with, creativity can be labelled as something that's not entirely useful or something that, you know, is more of a hobby. And I think coming at it from the perspective where it's a beautiful whole energy that can fuel, you know, creativity in all sorts of aspects, and giving it that purpose, I think people are more confident to explore it. I also believe that that creativity is really the conduit of self-expression as well. And so, yeah, that's definitely something that I'm really, really passionate about.
So you've raised a couple of really cool things there that I want to dive into. But first of all, because I want to get into what you're talking about self-expression, because I think that is... really, really important. But before I go there, I just want to ask you about, we were just chatting about the mind, the intellect, and its role with creativity. Would you say, I mean, you probably see this in your work, and I see it all the time as well, that yes, the mind can be a beautiful facilitator to support that intuitive creative energy, but it can also really get in the way, right? It can do the opposite. You're saying, you know, creativity and wonder is a supportive mindset, but what do you kind of come across with people in terms of how the mind can actually get in the way of that creative energy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the mind has the potential, as beautiful as it is, has the potential to run us around in circles and really prevent the true self-expression and, you know, to come forward. I think the mind can potentially take us to a place of logic and always have a reason for something. And I think that the self-expression and creativity comes from a place of truth over reasoning. And I think that's where the mind can come in.
And do you think also judging that creative process, like if we're talking about, you know, creativity, maybe writing or painting or something, but even just you know, intuition calling you towards something, I feel it's very often, as you said, logic, but the mind places a judgment on that energy and kind of doesn't let it fully be expressed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where, you know, the beliefs of not good enough or it needs to be better or that whole perfectionist mentality comes in. And it creates this story of an illusion and separates us from, you know, our true expression and our true creative energy.
Yeah. And then I guess, does it depend to what extent we believe that story? To what extent it
Yeah, absolutely. On that, though, I think if you can develop your own self-awareness, that's the most incredible tool possible, because you'll start to understand the language of your mind and your ego over your truth. And I think giving yourself permission to just explore the different facets of yourself, so whether it be different facets of your heart or your mind, I think is a really great gift that you can give yourself. And in the early days of studying kinesiology, there's a whole lot that we do around traditional Chinese medicine and the meridians and things like that. And so in a very, very general sense, meridians are energy lines which govern particular aspects of who we are, and they're within the body. And there was this one particular phrase that came up, and it was that the balancing of the mind and the heart is the expression of your truth. And so that has stayed with me the whole way through. And so that was about 6 years ago. And I think that if we're talking about creative energy and truth and really showing up as yourself and the self-expression, I think it's a continual journey of understanding that language of the mind and then understanding the language of the heart and allowing them to interact and play and come together as a whole.
Oh, that's so beautiful, because I love that you brought in the word play, because how often I see people make it a battle. It's like this fight between head and heart versus understanding the intricate play of the two energies and then almost becoming the master of how they work with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, though, when we grow up and we become adults, you know, even as small children, we never see the adults in our life playing. We never really, you know, the hard work and the mentality. And I think it's starting to shift now where we don't have to work hard and life doesn't have to be hard. There can be lots of play and creativity and expression, and we don't have to fit a mold. I think that's definitely something that everyone's learning, and, you know, it's sort of a message that's beginning to spread. But, you know, being adults, you know, there typically isn't a lot of play in our life, and there's a lot of judgment around that. And so I think really there's a whole heap of stuff around giving yourself permission, but to even give yourself permission for 5 minutes a day just to play and to engage with the energy of play, that's creativity.
Yeah. Yeah, that is creativity. So, and what you were saying before is kind of, you were talking about this truth energy kind of moving through you, also being creativity. Can you expand on that? Because, like, that phrase that you said you picked up from when you started your kinesiology training is just incredible. Yeah. Can you expand on kind of what that means to you, or how someone can kind of understand that concept?
The concept of truth?
Yeah, and truth and creative energy, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, it's a process. You know, number one, it's a process. I don't believe that we ever arrive to a place where we're so comfortable with our truth and our creativity. And as, you know, life continues on, we become wiser and we're just at a different place in our life. So I think the concept that we arrive at a place where we're completely 100% ourselves, that's part of the creative process. So that's number one. I think number two is just allowing yourself to be vulnerable. I think there are so many layers of ourselves that we hide and that we shield from ourselves and from the world. And so I think, you know, giving yourself space to be in stillness, to even on a daily basis, just say, okay, well, what do I need today? What kind of energy do I need to bring in? Or what do I need to connect into my heart and find out what my beliefs around this are, or what my truth around this is, and start to really understand your own truth voice, as opposed to the voices that, you know, you've learnt along the way, or the influences of society, or whatever it is. You know, just really coming back to your heart place through stillness, through journaling. I'm a big journaler and a big writer, and just giving yourself permission to understand your own voice around things.
Yes. Do you know what was coming to me when you were talking then was this idea of creativity being taking the formless and bringing it into form, and not necessarily being too attached about the shape or form. But what you're saying there, which is that initial part of tuning into the formless creative energy that's kind of inside of you, which, again, we've got labels like our heart energy, our intuition, our truth, our divine guidance, whatever resonates with you. But it's kind of, as you're saying, through stillness and through play and through vulnerability and openness, that coming back into connection so you can find out what your own creative energy is, what wants to move through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it goes back to what I said at the very beginning of this conversation, that we all have our own relationship to a concept or something that we can feel. And I really do believe that it's our duty to, when we feel a resonance of some description. So we might read a quote, or we might hear a conversation, or we might listen to a song, or whatever it is, and it elicits a feeling within our body, a resonance and a vibration. I think these can be little triggers to allow yourself a moment, or you know, many moments, to ask, okay, what is it about that makes me feel a certain way? And I feel like our environment plays a big part in showing us the way, but also our body has so much incredible information for us. So, you know, when we see those things, or when we feel those things, taking a step back and having a little conversation with yourself and say, okay, well, what do I need to do? What am I feeling around this? And allowing that in itself is creative energy, because it brings in the curiosity and the wonder and, you know, really broadening perceptions.
And I think you said the word there, allowing, which to me is very much the energy of it as well, which is almost having a bit of a surrender type energy and allowing whatever that energy is inside of you to move through you. And I love that you sort of explained that there's these little signposts that kind of come up in the external world that trigger feelings within us that are kind of trying to get our attention to say, there's something in this for you. So I'm curious how... whether it's in your work or your own practice, how you guide people or yourself to move into more of that feeling space. Because I feel like that's one of the biggest problems, is we're very disconnected from our feelings and that guidance coming through.
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, I believe that I need to keep that practice up for myself. Otherwise, I can't really guide people to do it for themselves. There's so much in life experience that, yes, you know, there's, you know, going to school and learning my course and all of that, absolutely. But to, you know, our world is our classroom, literally, and our relationships and everything that we come into contact with. So definitely for me, I think the process of unraveling and allowing myself to be vulnerable is a place that I need to go to, you know, discover the well of creativity within me. And I feel like it's definitely stepping out of your comfort zone when you find those things that allow you to feel new things, because I think newness is also a creative energy.
I totally agree.
Yes, it's a big one. So that's, you know, one of the things that I do for myself. Definitely journaling is a big thing for me, to connect with my truth and my heart and my creative energy. Also really listening to my intuition. So last year I hadn't painted for a very long time, and then last year I just started painting and I had an image in my mind and didn't really have a concept of what these paintings would look like. And they're really, people are really resonating with them. And so I think that it's a really important moment when you get a flash of insight or an urge or a pull. And if you don't act on it, then that's a moment that's lost that could potentially be helping other people to connect in with something that they need.
Yeah, you know, when you were talking about painting, something really came to me about that as well, about, I think for people to understand what their own creative process is, whether it is by creating something, for example, like a painting, writing, whatever, or whether it's just when their feeling is speaking to them. Just to give an example, because I dabble in painting a bit as well, only when every now and then just an image flashes in my mind of the painting and I'm like, oh, I've got to paint that. And I was reflecting on what is my creative process around painting, because again, it's moving formless, so a formless idea into form. And I was like, well, what I do is I see the image and I sit there and I pretty much completely surrender and I just kind of let energy move through me. And it was, it got me thinking about manifestation, because that is manifestation in itself, is taking this invisible formless energy and bringing it into form. And I was like, well, how come I can't manifest money, you know, in the same way, for example, if I get the energy of that, why is there this block that gets in the way of then moving that into form? So I think it's, you know, maybe just for people to reflect, if they do have those avenues where allowing creativity to move through is very effortless, I just felt to drop that in because I think it's an interesting way to understand manifestation as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely it does. And then again, you know, the beliefs around, you know, you bring up money, what your beliefs around money are as opposed to, you know, being artistically creative. And I think just pinpointing, sometimes they're really subtle differences, or sometimes you don't even have the words for it, but you have a feeling within your body somewhere.
Yeah.
And then what in that instance, and this is something that I speak to my clients about a lot, you might not have the words, but you feel it within your body. And obviously, I mean, being a kinesiologist, I adore the body. I'm a big person to talk about embodiment and really bring that into my own life as well. Within our body, we've got trillions of cells and it all carries cellular memory. So if you're feeling something but you don't have the words for it, really, and this is, again, creative energy, placing the palm of your hand over the area of your body that you're feeling that feeling, because your body responds very well to touch. It just loves it. And tapping into that area and just asking that area, okay, well, what's this about for me? And allowing the wisdom to come forward and allow your body to speak to you. There definitely needs to be a surrender that goes into that, and a willingness to hear the information that comes up, because that's the other thing. Sometimes the information that you need to hear isn't necessarily the information that you want to be hearing. So there's, you know, the vulnerability and the willingness and just the openness.
And the trust as well, hey, and to trust what your body is communicating to you.
Mm.
I love what you said there. Because I'm run a program called the 90-Day Transformation Project, and I'm talking to them a lot this week about resistance. And we've been doing a lot of processes about resistance, particularly in the body. And I love what you've shared there, because what you're saying is, you know, and I'd like to even open up a little conversation here about these blocks, these energetic blocks. But what you're saying here is almost, if you can feel there is that energetic block somewhere or that resistance, or that belief system, trusting your body enough that if you simply maybe put your attention there and ask that question, it will start to give you the guidance around what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. And without question. Without question. Yeah.
But trusting that, right? Because your head might come in and question it.
Totally. There's actually a beautiful practice that I often bring into workshops that I do and speak to my clients about. It's actually called the heart-mind pose. Again, it's something that came from my kinesiology studies, and I can explain it to everybody because this is just an awesome way to really connect the mind with the heart.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's engaging the whole brain, so the left and the right side of the brain, but also your heart space. So hopefully I'm going to explain this well, because normally I demonstrate it. But essentially what you want to do is extend your arms out in front of you. So they should be in line with your shoulders. So your arms are straight ahead of you. You're crossing your arms at your wrists, and then you're turning your hands inward to meet so they can interlace. And then you're bending at your elbows and you're tucking your hands to sit at your heart space.
Wow, yeah.
And what this is actually doing, the simple motion of crossing your arms and tucking them under, that's actually activating the whole brain. So it's getting the fibres of the left and the right brain communicating and switching and firing, because you're crossing your arms. And then tucking your hands at your heart space, that's activating the heart energy. And so just sitting in this space and just breathing deeply and imagining or visioning a golden bridge from your mind, connecting it to the heart energetically, and just allowing yourself to soften into that beautiful heart space, and just inquiring and asking, you know, what is it that I need to know? Bringing the creativity and the wonder and curiosity into that. That is, I think, definitely by far one of the most simplest, beautiful, most nourishing ways of starting to develop the mind and the heart communication. And what I really love about that is that the meeting point is your throat. The meeting point between your mind and your heart is your throat, and that's your expression.
Oh, you know what? I love that so much. When I work with my clients, I see so much throat chakra and throat blockages because I can see the heart mm-hmm. energy coming up and the head energy pushing down and it gets stuck in mm-hmm. the throat because there's that real challenge. But I love what you're saying here about having this beautiful communion and communication. Mm. And again, it goes back to what I said before. It's not a war between the two energies. It's like, let's open up that conversation and let it flow.
Absolutely. And I've mentioned this so much, but the curiosity and the wonder, having that mindset, you don't need to, I think often we can get really stuck in the outcome of, you know, what does this need to mean or what does this need to create? It, that knowing doesn't necessarily come straight away and the outcome doesn't necessarily need to be known. So I think curiosity and wonder, bringing that into the present moment, just allowing whatever needs to be and to come into form, as you were saying, Connie, and just mm-hmm. to, you know, really just come out into the world and manifest in whatever form that it needs to. I think there's so much freedom in that.
Yeah. Particularly when it comes to expression of the heart energy, because whether it is mm. through speaking your truth or painting something mm. or writing something or even, you know, sharing your dreams with someone and following them, that the heart energy, it's as you mentioned before, it's new often, it's unfamiliar, mm. it's unknown, mm. it may not come out in perfect form, as you've been saying. How do you support people? Maybe this is similar to what you shared before, but I'm wondering if there's any other ways. But you support people with that self-expression, with that ability to let the heart energy come out through, pass through the throat without getting blocked and suppressed. You know, does your kinesiology play a big role in that, or do you have other practices?
Yeah, look, kinesiology absolutely plays a big role in it, especially because whatever comes up in a kinesiology session is specific to the person that I'm working with. And it can often throw up subconscious beliefs and blocks, energy blocks that really aren't in our awareness and consciousness. Aside from that, though, there are plenty of things that we can do. I think definitely engaging in, it's almost like create a game. So give yourself 5 minutes a day. Like it's almost a game of let's see. So give yourself 5 minutes a day, just in that 5 minutes, to really listen to your heart and act upon your heart and see what happens. And framing it as if it's a game, I've found that I personally love it myself, but also my clients really love it because there's nothing too serious attached to it. Everyone's got 5 minutes a day just to act on the heart and just to see what comes of it. It's definitely a practice.
Because that heart energy is so playful, which is exactly what you're saying.
Yes. Yes. And everyone's got 5 minutes. If you can find it within your day, everyone's got 5 minutes. Just, you know, and I think once people open themselves up to that possibility of listening to the heart, there can definitely be resistance, and there's no question about that. But I think if it's done regularly enough, the results really do speak for themselves. People feel a lot better about themselves. They're noticing that their life is flowing a lot more. They're feeling more awake and more alive. I also do, to the clients that are open to it, whether they consider themselves creative people or not, artistically creative people or not, I ask them just to, you know, spend a couple of minutes a day drawing or writing or painting or whatever it is. And it's been such an interesting thing to see the clients who do take me up on that suggestion. And they come back a couple of weeks later and they said, well, I don't know exactly what I'm drawing, but my God, it makes me feel good.
Yes.
And it's
It's so beautiful because I think those moments, exactly what you're saying, is when you're encouraging people to completely detach from the shape or form it comes in and let go of the judgment of that. Be like, you just let that energy flow through and don't even care what it looks like.
Yeah, don't. Absolutely. You know, I think we can, you know, really get stuck in our mind and, okay, well, what does this need to look like? It's almost like we need to know the end goal before we take the first step. And I was actually talking to one of my clients about this yesterday, and it was such a beautiful session, and she came away and she said, it's almost illogical to have to know what the outcome is. Because she's almost like come full circle, and it's so true. We never know, and that's part of the magic and the fun of going with the flow of energy rather than blocking it, is that if we are so attached to the outcome, we generally block all the creativity and the magic that otherwise could have come in.
Yeah, and magic is such a beautiful word to use to describe it. And magic is like you don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of magical in that aspect, which is really beautiful. It makes me think of the concept of control so much, because I feel like a lot of us live in a space of control, which is really driven by fear. And to let creative energy flow through is really to actually feel sometimes quite out of control of how that's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing that can be really scary for many people, feeling out of control, especially as we're, you know, busting through mindsets and beliefs around the way that we needed to live. And now we're kind of figuring out, oh, there's actually another way that feels better and feels more playful and feels more aligned. And then the results start to flow in, the manifestation results start to flow in. I think grounding yourself and having grounding practices is absolutely imperative, because this is something that I've found personally and again with the people that I work with, that if this creative energy doesn't have a place to live, a funnel to go into, we can then slip into that fear that you're talking about, but also agitation and frustration and all of those sorts of things. So I think it's really important to be grounded and connected to your body in order for that creative energy to live somewhere, and for you then to have, you know, I think it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, is have the purpose for the creativity.
I think just even the ability to be in our bodies in general, well, that in itself is a grounding thing. I feel like the heart energy is quite grounding as well once you're in there. But, yeah, it's that supportive foundation, because I think the head can just throw us off center a lot, and then the minute you can get back into your body, and I'm sure you use things like as well, like, you know, even nature is so grounding. I find painting very grounding as well, but anything where I'm very much in my body's energy, in the present moment, not thinking necessarily about anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely nature is a big one for me. I'm very lucky I live quite close to the beach, so I go there daily. That's a big grounding force for me. Also just, you know, planting the soles of your feet on the floor wherever you are and really connecting in with the soles of your feet. We've got, they're not spoken about very often, but you've got major chakras, which are the main seven that most people would know about. But then you've got minor chakras all over your body, and they're tiny little energy centres. And so we've got soul chakras. And so if you just plant your feet down on the floor wherever you are and engage with the soles of your feet and start to feel the connection between your feet and the earth energy, that's a really simple, easy way to start feeling really connected to the earth. And that's a very grounding presence and force as well.
I absolutely love that. I learned that sort of practice through one of my mentors last year. It's so simple, but it actually really brings you into the present as well. And when you start to drop your attention down to your feet, your mind naturally settles because it's not all up in your head anymore. I've also found placing my attention in the palm of my hands and sort of just sensing the energy in the palm of my hands, that also is really supportive for me as well, because that brings my attention from form into formless as well, into energy.
I love that you say that, and this obviously is a real testament to you creating your relationship with your body and your own practices and knowing what works for you. And I think that's something that we all really need to do, isn't it? It's, you know, taking these beautiful ideas and these concepts, but then bringing it back to your body and figuring out, oh, okay, well, let's try this out. And it's that playfulness. Let's try this out. Does this work for me? or does that work a little bit better? And really kind of making it your own, because we're all so individual.
Yeah, and that just reminds me of something I wanted to bring up, which I was going to bring up before, but I forgot, about kind of, again, trusting our body's own wisdom, because I feel like people would come to practitioners like yourself or myself and sort of say, I've got these blocks or I've got this going on, support me with it. And, of course, you know, that's what we're here for. I love the work that I do. But also, I just want to go back and really drill home the point you mentioned before about trusting yourself. All the answers are in there. And if you have, if you're wanting to maybe have this 5 minutes to express your creative energy, but there is fear and feeling out of control and vulnerability and a freaking outness kind of going on, then ask your body, what is this about for me? What am I so scared of? Why am I afraid of being out of control? And actually become your own little guru, become your own coach. Trust everything that you're saying as well, that your body has the wisdom for you and you can actually exactly take what we've been talking about today and make your own unique practice to be able to express your creative energy.
And that is absolutely true. And so I've been a kinesiologist for about 4.5 years now and seeing clients that whole time. And I cannot tell you the amount of times where things will show up in a balance, so belief systems or, you know, intuitive insights and things like that, and for the client, and I'll share it with them and they'll say, oh, I knew that. I knew that. And so I say, okay, well, so next time act upon it, listen to it. And again, it's almost seeing it as, you know, just putting one foot in front of the other. It's choosing in the moment. You get to choose every single moment of your life, how you experience it. And so when those insights drop in, are you going to go with the insight or are you going to go with the logic? And it's bringing that creative energy into the choices that you make. And then tracking when you do go with the intuition or you do go with the creative energy, tracking it and kind of going, oh, okay, well, I got that insight and then I shared it, for instance. So if you're getting insight around something and you share it, that's a form of creative energy. And then seeing what comes of that conversation or feeling like you need to show up somewhere or be somewhere on that day that wasn't necessarily planned, but you feel the urge and you feel that insight and then you go. And then chances are there's going to be something in that situation just because you showed up that you delight in. And it's all these simple day-to-day things. Your intuition and your body are always showing you, always.
I love that so much. And I often say to people, I feel the only reason or the only time life stops flowing and working is when we stop following that feeling, when we start, you know, questioning it or not following it, resisting it. And wow, you know, if we can be practicing moment to moment being guided by our creative force within us, that's where I feel like the magic happens in life.
Absolutely. And also don't listen to the doubt. I mean, there are so many parts of us that can be filled with doubt, but that's actually not the truth. And I think the self-doubt and the devaluing, you know, the ideas and the newness and wanting to live life in a different way, you know, in a way that is potentially uncomfortable to begin with and doesn't fit the mold that you had set out for your life. Don't believe the disbelief, basically. And look, I know it almost feels like a previous life, but the first majority of my life, I was so controlling over my life. I'd planned, you know, the years ahead down to the month. And then there was a moment where everything just blew up and I went, okay, well, I can't do this anymore. And by far listening to that creative energy and that intuition and being really brave to follow it through, because sometimes it is not easy. And sometimes it goes against all logic, but there's this tiny little bit of knowing within you that, you know, just compels you to keep going forward. You know, that is when life flows, when you listen to that above the doubt and that above the fear.
So true. And starting to have that awareness of even exactly what you said, that the doubt and the fear isn't your truth. I think people, I see a lot of people, it's like that thought comes in and they just believe it. Oh, that's just how it is.
Mm.
But starting to question that and really challenge it. And and I say to people as well, make your feeling more real than the thoughts. So to sit with that thought, and how does that feel to you? Well, it feels really disempowering and icky. Okay, cool. Mm. So what is the opposite? And when I sit with, okay, maybe I'm going to say yes to this and do it, it feels expansive and that creative energy starts to awaken and move through you. And I think trusting that our feeling is more real than these limiting thoughts that our mind is telling us and beginning to really question them.
Absolutely. And also, I think with emotions, all emotions are so valuable, and there is so much wisdom that can come from the emotions. So again, so what I was talking about earlier about touching your body where you feel a resonance or you feel a feeling and getting some insight and wisdom from that, you can even do that with particular emotions that you're feeling. And it's almost like seeing it as, I mean, it's definitely yours, but seeing it as separate to you so that you're able to look underneath the emotions and say, okay, well, what is this about? Because there is wisdom in all of it. There really is.
Peeling back the layers of that feeling and really understanding it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then being able to move through it as well. Yeah.
It's so funny we're talking about resistance because, again, like I said, I've been sharing that in my group and talking about how because it's uncomfortable, we kind of bounce off it all the time. So we start to get a little bit close to that feeling and we pull out because it's an uncomfortable feeling. But I really believe below that uncomfortable emotion is actually your truth, that it's your divine wisdom sitting underneath it, waiting for you, but you kind of got to peel back the layers and go through the uncomfortable stuff first, which is sometimes a challenge for people. But I agree with you, just sitting with your attention, your hand on that area, and just being willing to explore that sensation, that's a beautiful starting point.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I mean, I'm a big one for play and, you know, seeing everything as a little bit of a game. But even if you can, if you obviously, if there's fear, right, you can obviously feel that fear. But all that is really is a vibration. Yeah. And so bring in that playfulness and say, okay, well, what can I transform this vibration into? Like, you get your wisdom, you get your understanding about why you're feeling that fear, but then transform it into something that feels more supportive for you and use the weight of that vibration for something that will propel you.
That's really cool. I like that sort of understanding you can change your relationship with it.
Yeah, totally. You know, bring the alchemist in, you know, you can transform anything. Everything is energy, you know, and when you bring that curiosity and that playfulness into it, it really can change your relationship with yourself and your life and what you're here to do. And that's also a portal for your self-expression and your knowing as well.
Wow. And, yeah, I mean, the real energy I get of this conversation is just that, even just that initial willingness to be able to start this little journey of exploring your own energy, exploring your own body, your own blocks, your own creative energy, and just setting aside that little bit of time to become more familiar with your inner world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I go back to the heart-mind pose that I shared earlier. Yeah. That is phenomenal. It feels really safe. It allows you to really connect in with your body. It engages your whole brain. It engages, you know, your heart. It's incredible. It's grounding. And if you sit in it long enough, you know, people feel really comforted and feel really safe. And when you feel comforted and you feel safe, you're able to go into that vulnerable space and you're able to go into that, you know, the trust and all of those sorts of things that allow you to, you know, open up and blossom and to really be self-expressive.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I actually was doing that as you were talking through it. And I because I was sort of trying to understand what you're saying and experience it. And I felt a real softness the minute that I did it. I just felt myself kind of drop a little bit. So, yeah, I would recommend that's something people definitely practice. It sounds beautiful.
Absolutely. It's definitely safe. No, that's okay.
Sorry, Anne. I was just going to say this has been such a beautiful conversation. I just, I love this perspective because, you know, to understand, I think every single person on the planet is creative. But I believe what we are in our essence is creative energy. And I think starting to break down some of the mental constrictions around that and explore it from this playful perspective that you're saying is so, so beautiful. I just wanted to check, is there anything around this concept that we haven't covered yet that you really wanted to explore or share around it?
I think I just want to really reiterate that creativity really is our individuality. And when we step into that individuality, we can really support and collaborate as ourselves in the world. And so there isn't that, you know, often there can be competition or feeling like you're separate or, you know, separate to the point of putting people on pedestals and all of those sorts of things. And I really feel that that's unnecessary energy. So when we tap into our own personal blend of creativity, we're able to connect in with our individuality. And that is an incredibly beautiful experience to have. And then you're able to show up as you and really, I mean, that is just a phenomenal thing to be able to do. So, yeah, just wanted to leave with that, I think.
I think that's what everyone is seeking, is to reconnect with their own individual creative energy and express that. I think that's ultimately what we're all seeking.
Absolutely. And rather than sort of, you know, not to start a new conversation, but often they can pass and really they can. Yeah. And actually, I will leave, you know, there's this beautiful quote that I have next to me, and it's, if what I say resonates with you, it's merely because we are both branches of the same tree. And
I like that.
You know, and I think sometimes when we can, when we feel separate to other people, and we can sort of, you know, really, it's only because we're seeing something within them because we're seeing it within ourselves. And so own that and claim that and, you know, express it as your own individuality.
We are branches of the same tree. I love it.
Yes.
It's such a beautiful way to see it. Oh, that's
absolutely
gorgeous. I've got a big smile on my face now. I really like that. Oh, it's awesome. So I don't know, I just want to check in with you. Is there anything that is coming up for you in the future with your work, anything you'd like to share with us, anything you're working on or want to let people know is coming up for you?
Well, I'm working on an ebook at the moment, and it's called Create Gold. And essentially, sort of last year and this year, I've been doing interviews with creative visionaries to really understand, you know, their beliefs and the way that they do things. So the book is going to be based on that, but bringing in all, you know, the kinesiology tools and techniques and, you know, all the intuition into that book so it can really help people, you know, really set their own creative ideas and visions free, but also to be able to express fundamentally their own individuality. So, yeah, that's what I'm working on at the moment. It's something that I'm hugely passionate about. I'm really big on supporting personal creativity. So I can't wait for that to come out.
That's really exciting. And exactly on what you said before, it is so important in this day and age of, you know, people running businesses, having online platforms, wanting to find our own unique way of expressing maybe the same message, but expressing it our way. You know, I think what you're talking about there is really, really important and be really supportive for a lot of people, you know, the space that they're in at the moment. Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's my intention, just to help people see that, you know, you don't have to fit a certain mold to step up and to, you know, bring your vision or your creative dream to life.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been so gorgeous talking to you about this topic. I've really, really enjoyed it. So, thank you so much.
Thank you, Connie. I am just absolutely so happy to have had this conversation and to be invited. It's really a privilege. So thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart. And thank you to everyone who's been listening live today. And I look forward to connecting with you again next week on Awaken Radio. Thanks, Mel. Chat to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.